generosity and dignity than Fyodor, who got hold of all her 25,000 roubles. The little village and the fine town house of her dowry he did his utmost for a long time to transfer to his name. He would probably have succeeded, but fortunately Adelaida's family circumvented his greediness. Frequent fights took place between the husband and the wife, but rumour had it that Fyodor did not beat his wife, but was beaten by her, for she was a hot-tempered, bold, impatient woman, possessed of remarkable physical strength. Finally, she ran away with a destitute divinity student, leaving Dmitri, a child of three, in her husband's hands. Immediately, Fyodor introduced a regular harem into the house and abandoned himself to orgies of drunkenness. He used to drive all over the province, complaining of Adelaida. What seemed to gratify him and flatter his self-love most was to play the ridiculous part of the injured husband. "Fyodor Pavlovich, you seem so pleased in spite of your sorrow," scoffers said to him. He was glad of a new comic part to play the buffoon. At last the poor woman turned out to be in Petersburg, where she had gone with her divinity student, and where she had thrown herself into a life of complete emancipation. His wife's family received the news of her death in Petersburg of typhus, or of starvation. Fyodor was drunk when he heard of his wife's death, and he ran out into the street and began shouting with joy, raising his hands to heaven, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace!" Others say he wept without restraint, like a little child. It is quite possible that both versions were true, that he rejoiced at his release and at the same time wept for her who released him. As a general rule, people, even the wicked, are much more naive and simple-hearted than we suppose. And we ourselves are, too. Chapter 2. He gets rid of his eldest son. You can imagine what a father such a man could be, and how he would bring up his children. He completely abandoned the child of his marriage with Adelaida, not from malice, nor because of his matrimonial grievances, but simply because he forgot him. A faithful servant of the family, Grigori, took the 3-year-old Dmitri into his care. Dmitri remained for almost a year in old Grigori's charge, and lived with him in the servant's cottage. A cousin of Dmitri's mother, Pyotr Miusov, happened to return from Paris. He was at that time quite a young man, of enlightened ideas and of European culture. His splendid estate lay on the outskirts of our little town and bordered on the lands of our famous monastery. Hearing all about Adelaida and learning of the existence of Dmitri, he intervened and told Fyodor directly that he wished to undertake the child's education. Fyodor looked for some time as though he did not understand what child he was talking about, and even as though he was surprised to hear that he had a little son in the house. Fyodor was all his life fond of acting, of suddenly playing an unexpected part and even to his own disadvantage. This habit is characteristic of a very great number of people, some of them very clever. Pyotr Miusov was appointed, with Fyodor, joint guardian of the child, who had a small property left him by his mother. Dmitri did pass into this cousin's keeping, who left the boy in charge of one of his cousins, a lady in Moscow. In Paris, Pyotr too forgot the child. The Moscow lady died, and Dmitri passed into the care of one of her married daughters. He changed his home a fourth time later on. This Dmitri was the only one of Fyodor's 3 sons who grew up in the belief that he had property, and would be independent on coming of age. He spent an irregular youth. He did not finish his studies at the gymnasium. He got into a military school, then went to the Caucasus, was promoted, fought a duel, and was degraded to the ranks, earned promotion again, led a wild life, and spent a good deal of money. He did not begin to receive any income from Fyodor until he came of age, and until then got into debt. He saw Fyodor for the first time when he visited to settle with him about his property. He seems not to have liked his father. He did not stay long with him, having only succeeded in obtaining a sum of money and entering into an agreement for future payments from the estate. Fyodor remarked for the first time then that Dmitri had an exaggerated idea of his property. Fyodor was very well satisfied with this, as it fell